You're listening to a Strange Assembly review. You can subscribe to the full Strange Assembly podcast on iTunes or by visiting our website at www.strangeassembly.com. Enjoy. This is the Strange Assembly review of Penny Arcade, the game, Gamers vs. Evil. I'm Chris Stevenson.
I'm Jay Earl.
I'm Mike Cook.
This is the most recent of the Penny Arcade games. It is not to be confused with the existing Fantasy Flight, Gabe vs. Tycho, Silver Line game, or some other Penny Arcade game that I'd never heard of that Mike was just talking about.
Yeah, it was for the Versus system, which technically Fantasy Flight also has rights to.
Penny Arcade, the game, Gamers vs. Evil, is a deck-building game, and it is from Cryptozoic Entertainment, whose, I think, most well-known property right now is the World of Warcraft TCG.
Right. If I remember correctly, they were spun off entirely for the World of Warcraft TCG, so...
That's correct.
Yeah.
Although they do have other stuff now.
Yes.
Yes.
They've got the Walking Dead board game that's come out, Food Fight, which is another card game that's come out, and then this one.
For the last three gamers in the world who don't know what a deck-building game is yet, the general concept of the game is that you start with a fixed deck of weak cards. Over the course of the game, you add more cards to your deck, and then you do something with that deck. Well, I guess you just add cards to your deck with two games. But usually in most deck-building games these days, you do something else with them. Although this one, I think you mostly just add cards to it.
Yeah, you add cards to get points to win.
So, obviously, this is based on the online strip. All of the jokes are out of the strip. All of the art is out of the comic strip. You have two resources in the game, and then two categories of cards that you're buying with them. You have tokens, which buy gamer cards, and you have power, which buy evil cards. And then evil cards are worth some victory points. Gamer cards are not worth victory points. You build up your deck to go after bosses. There's one evil boss and one gamer boss. The evil boss represents you beating someone up, and they join you. And then the gamer boss represents you convincing someone to help you.
Yeah.
Getting presents.
Yeah. The game starts with a certain random number of cards out on the table available for purchase. And it ends when you've depleted half of those stacks, give or take, or have gone all the way through one of the boss stacks. The other wrinkle on this one is that you have a starting character, which, I mean, obviously that's something that's been done in other deck-building games, but you have a starting character. You have Gabe, you have Tycho, you have Anarchy, you have Catsby, and Rex Reddy. Some other characters
from the... And then a whole bunch of other one-shots from the comic strip.
Yeah. And those characters can modify what your starting deck is and or give you some sort of special ability. So your deck starts with cardboard tubes to generate you power. Good old cardboard tube samurai. And he's one of the gamer bosses. Or you have quarters, which are worth tokens. Gabe is... better at gamer stuff. He starts with more quarters in his deck.
Yes.
And then
Tycho's
he gets
the opposite.
And he gets extra tokens every turn, or an extra token every turn. Tycho starts with more cardboard tubes. Other characters have different balances. There are several of the characters who replace one of those with a special card. Anarchy starts with the Bat'leth. Catsby starts with Twisp. And Rex Reddy starts with his License to Kill.
Yeah, most of the decks are they're split even 6-6. But some of them are like 7-5.
Anybody else? Am I missing anything about the basics of playing the game?
Well, just more specifically about the bosses. So you have three levels of boss. There's boss loot that you buy. The first four are 8. The second four are 10. And then the last one doesn't have any loot, but he's 13. He gives you victory points, and he ends the game.
Yeah. So what did each of you guys think about the game?
It's okay. It's a competent game. I can't say that it's it's not as bad as some other ones that I've played, but most of the deck building games I've played are they tend to move forward. You know, obviously we've had quite a few and there's a lot flooding the market anymore. It feels like half of all of the game companies' lines are deck building games anymore.
They're the new hotness.
They are the new hotness. Yeah. And they're a lot of fun. There's a good reason. It mixes a lot of really fun things. Penny Arcade, it does what it does decently well, but it doesn't really feel like it's moving forward. The bosses are the only thing that are kind of new to me, and even that, I don't know, I could take it or leave it. It doesn't really add that much to me, to the game for me.
I think when you say moving forward, you mean adding some new innovation to the genre. I think that was also something that felt a little bit different about this, that most deck building games, I guess most games generally, have a very clear sense of progression as you go through the game, that you're more and more able to get better and better stuff. And, you know, in a strategy game, you might build up more and more resources and buy better and better units. In a deck building game, it's usually, okay, I buy a bigger resource card, and then I am able to get some of the bad ones out, and then I get up to the even bigger resource cards. Whereas in the gameplay of this, other than getting up a little bit bigger finally to get the bosses, it didn't feel as much as you had a clear sense of progression, especially depending on what your spread of cards were. You could have a spread of cards that was devoid of an automatic progression, I think in part because there's only two build things. You know, usually, like, if you go back to, you know, Dominion, the granddaddy of everything, you've got copper, and then you've got silver, and then you build up to gold. In this, you've got the equivalent of a copper and a silver, and there are cards that are the equivalent of golds, but they're just in the random cards, and you may or may not get them.
Well, also, just because you have the two resources, you don't necessarily feel like, oh, that six cost, I have to save up for a while. If your hand is right, you can buy the six cost right off the bat. Whereas there are definitely cards in Dominion where you're like, okay, I'm going to have to save up to be able to afford the province. I can't just right off the bat luck into one.
No, you can't. Yeah, the cost for the non-bosses, the cost curve tops out at six, which, yeah, you could theoretically, if you had all six of one
right, or,
in your
I
hand,
mean,
get it right away.
If you're playing someone who gets a bonus to their stat, you wouldn't necessarily need all six of them. I mean, even at the five cost, you can relatively easily get the five cost ones right off the bat without having to save for them, so they lose some of the specialness that the more expensive ones are in other games.
Yeah. And I think they try to mitigate that some by the fact that there's no limit on the number of cards you can buy per turn. Mm. I don't think they really could have with the way that they split the decks, essentially. But so you could theoretically buy two or three of, like, the two costs if you were theming that way. But I don't feel like there was anything that was really that, like, great for that to be a great strategy. There's not really that many that low a cost card anyways.
Right. Yes, you can certainly buy multiple cards, but as far as what Chris was talking about of feeling like you're progressing, being able to buy two cards does not have the same feeling of progression as being able to buy the really super cool card.
Yeah.
Well,
in addition, it doesn't have... There are only very limited ways to shred cards out of your deck.
Hmm.
And which is not something that's always in deck building games, but is sometimes in there, and that eliminates another way where you can increase the, you know, density of good stuff in your deck to get to bigger things. But I feel like we're sort of saying the things that are wrong with it. I guess the problem is the things that are right with it are the things that are sort of right with the deck building genre generally. If you like this sort of thing, it's not that it's a bad game. It's just, to some extent, it's going to amount to, do you like Arcade and what to look at? I mean, because it's got a bunch of funny things from Penny Arcade.
Yeah, the problem with it is it's insufficiently distinct from other deck-building games for it to feel like... I mean, yes, if you have no other deck-building games, this is a fine one to pick up, but mm-hmm. if you've already got three or four deck-building games, this doesn't necessarily feel like it's adding enough for you to want to play to have this to play instead of Dominion or Ascension or Nightfall or what have you.
Well, I don't say it. Nightfall really is in its own little universe, yeah. But...
Even the cards that are replicas of other cards in other games, like the, what is it, Sorcellator?
Sorcellator.
Yeah.
Plus one token, plus one power, draw a card.
Right. And he is 5 tokens. So that same card in Dominion is, which is it? But it's essentially, it's a less cost, so you can get them faster.
Well, I think that the cards that you're thinking of in Dominion that cost less, they're usually like plus one card, plus one action, because they just replace themselves and do something minor. When you get up, the Sorcellator, it does 2 things, and it draws you a card. It doesn't have to give you another action, because it already does. And if you look at...
There's no action.
Yeah, if you want a card in Dominion that gives you plus one card, and plus one action, and gives you 2 other things...
Well, you've got
those
market.
Cost 5.
Yeah, those,
usually,
so that's
and that
five.
Costs
that is
5. So I think it's.
I mean, the problem was with it that we weren't that excited about it was that by giving one of each resource, most of our games we were focus firing one or the other, or at least the game where we had that card available, it was focus fire one or the other rather than the split. So usually it'd be like, okay, that's plus one to the one I'm going to buy with, and one I can't spend on anything.
Well. And the one I guess I'd say maybe it is most comparable to would be maybe Market, which is plus one buy, plus one card, plus one action, plus one goal. So that's a lot of game-breaking stuff that you're doing there, because you're getting another card, you're getting another action, you're getting another buy. Sorcellator at the same 5 is like plus one, plus one. So neither one gives you a whole lot of resources, but the extra draw a card, the other one lets you do more. I don't know. I know, like, it felt like... There's 1 or 2 guards that gave you like plus 3, but a lot of it was still plus 2, plus 1. So my hand kept being full of like smaller.
I guess at the same time that they have compared to something like Dominion, it's split out into 2 different resources, but because there are less restrictions on what you can do, that takes away something that you can use to add variety of the cards. Like we're basically saying, you get an unlimited number of card purchases a turn. And there's no limit on actions per turn or anything like that. So by default, really, there the only generic things you can do with a card are give resource A tokens, give resource B power, or draw more cards. The other things are not in there for default. So you more quickly run out of space to explore in the card design with very basic things. I do like the boss edition. Not only is it the most distinctive and innovative way of adding to the game, I think it's also the most flavorful part of the game, because most of the cards, okay, it's got some art from Penny Arcade on it. You're like, oh, I remember the comic strip where they did that. That's a funny joke. But it just gives you plus 2 tokens and doesn't really have anything to do with what's going on the card. Whereas I thought that the boss loot cards, you know, kind of had, you know, at least loosely something to do with what they were. The Satan card gave you the, you know, deadly sins of gaming, and, you know, you could get, there was ninja looting, which lets you steal other players' cards, and kill stealing, which lets you, use your resources for both different kinds of things and kind of swipe in something. So I liked those the best. Is there something else about the game that you guys particularly liked?
Well, you know, now that you say the boss, I will say that just the one thing I really do like about the boss is it does give you clarity. Some of the problem that you run into, especially with new players for deck building games, is what am I going to do? I've got like 12 random stacks. I'm just going to randomly buy. This at least gives you something of a goal. Like, you know, okay, I need to try and get to 8, then I need to try to get to 10, and then I need to try and buy this thing. So it's kind of nice that it actually gives you more of a straightforward goal.
Yeah, and I also like that the character cards, if you were just teaching someone to buy deck building games, you could possibly take those out, but and this isn't the first time that character cards have been used in a deck building game to modify stuff. The Resident Evil deck building games did that, and I mean in Fantasy Flight's Rune Age obviously makes that drastically different from one thing to another, but I thought that they were well implemented here, especially when for some of the cards, when combined with the two different resources and types of cards you were doing, it could really push you in different ways instead of just the, well, your character likes this one sort of card and, you know, here's hoping that it shows up in the random pool of cards for you to be able to use it. Okay, so overall, I think that we found Penny Arcade, the game, Gamers vs. Evil, to be a perfectly functional deck-building game that added an interesting mechanic in the bosses that we liked. However, it does not really advance the deck-building genre very much. If you don't have deck-building games and you want to explore it and you like Penny Arcade, it could be somewhere that's fun to start, but if you've already got several deck-building games, it probably is not going to add enough gameplay distinctiveness to make you want to go out and drop $50 on it. For Mike Cook and Gerald, I'm Chris Stevenson, and you've been listening to Strange Assembly. You've been listening to Strange Assembly. You can download more episodes of Strange Assembly on iTunes or from our website at www.strangeassembly.com. While you're at our website, you can check out the frequently updated main page or talk with us on the forums. You can also email me directly at chris@strangeassembly.com, or you can follow Strange Assembly on Facebook or Twitter. Strange Assembly, either place. Thanks for listening.